Hashtag you don't have to be Jewish.
Welcome, Grant Austin. How are you?
Hi, Kathy. Well, thanks to you. Thanks for having me on your show.
Oh, it's lovely to speak to you. So, the managing director of Edge Sports Fitness Clubs and spokesperson for Fit SA. Now, as I was explaining, Fit SA is an umbrella body, right? A governing body to try and professionalize the industry. Right? Okay, so you went off to court. Was it on the 2nd of June that you went?
2nd of July.
Oh, sorry, 2nd of July. Sorry. Okay, maybe I'm not getting enough oxygen to the brain. I'm not doing enough exercise. All right, so why were you going to court on behalf of all the smaller gyms?
Kathy, we went to court because we wanted to draw a line in the sand so that government would take notice of us. I mean, we didn't feel that there was anything particularly malicious happening, but we are the last industry virtually to be opened.
Yeah.
And we just wanted to say, look, we also need to be heard. And we felt that there was a negotiated route running, which was taking some time. And we then decided to run the same sort of a route as the hairdressers did in the personal care industry.
Which is what?
Basically petitioned government in the High Court to allow them to open because the concept is that the damage to the industry and the damage to jobs and the loss of income and businesses and that sort of a thing was excessive, and that we were actually able to comply with very safe protocols to allow our members to come back in and train safely.
Does that not rely on some degree of responsibility on the part of the member,
the
gym member who's coming?
Pretty much like if you walk into a shopping center or something and, you need to maintain your distancing.
Yeah.
Fortunately, in the gyms, we've got a fairly controlled environment. So certain aspects of the gym would be set out of bounds. And then other aspects like training on a piece of equipment, we space those out so that you comply with the proximity requirements in terms of social distancing. We have access control systems that can tell us who's coming in, what age group they're in. We can send out pre-screening letters to everybody to advise them of the kind of comorbidities that they must be careful of, etc. And then we obviously have monitors on the floor that are sanitizing everything as people use them, making sure people have got their masks on, making sure they're feeling comfortable and able to exercise, while still complying with the rules.
Yeah. So I've got a question that I actually haven't been able to answer, but in terms of insurance or costs or landlords, right? So if you're operational, does that not drive your costs up, irrespective of whether people are coming to work out or not?
It definitely does. So, there's a concept in common law called force majeure or vis major.
Yes.
And that basically says that if you can't have beneficial occupation of your premises, then you aren't necessarily obliged to pay rent. But our view is always been that you have to understand that you can't take a hard view. You have to understand that the landlords have costs and staff and running costs, and
sure,
it's important to us that the malls and that are still there. So we took a balanced view and we advised our members to negotiate with their landlords to come up with a compromise that would work for both parties. Now, obviously, if you do open and your members don't come back, you're in a bit of a tight spot. So this is a combination of opening at the right time with the right protocols so that our members do feel comfortable to come back and utilize the facilities.
Yeah. Let me just get some clarity here. So if you open, it's no longer force majeure. Is that correct?
Yeah, because pretty much then you've got beneficial occupation of the premises. So,
right,
you're technically back at full speed. It's obviously something that everybody has to consider in their own personal sort of circumstances.
Yeah. It's a very, very interesting conversation. And so what happened with your court case on the 2nd of July?
Well, we actually pended it because there was a kind of a meeting of the minds where there is a set of protocols that has been agreed to by the industry, from sanitizing to social distancing to number of people per square meter, et cetera, et cetera. And we then basically agreed to give the government a little bit more time to get those protocols rubber stamped and through the command control,
yes,
COGTA, whatever it is, or COVID control center, and then into Parliament for gazetting. Unfortunately, we haven't had resolution on that yet. So chances are we will be back in court. We're certainly hoping that that's not going to be the case because, we feel it's unnecessary. We're ready to open. The protocols have been agreed. So, you know, we want that to happen as soon as possible.
Yeah, very interesting. Grant, unfortunately, this is where we have to leave it, but it has been, you're clearly very knowledgeable about what you're doing, and, you know, keep us posted about what happens. I mean, just out of interest, there was a report yesterday. South Africa and Israel have been lifting their protocols at the same time, their levels.
Yep.
And from just the one gym there, yesterday 35 people were diagnosed with COVID-19. How do you prevent it? I mean, maybe as you going forward, you know, how to prevent that from happening here.
Kathy, that's really sad.
Yeah.
And really, you know, transmission of COVID-19 comes down to three or four things. The first thing is proximity. So if I'm 2 to 3 meters away from you, my chances of catching it are very slim. The second thing is duration. You know, if I stand close to you and I chat to you for 20, 30 minutes, my chances rise dramatically. So a simple, how are you, and walk past you kind of thing at 1.5 meters, I'm much less likely to catch it. The third thing is fresh air. You know, so if we are chatting outdoors in the completely full fresh air, the transmission drops dramatically. And gyms obviously are indoors, but we've got high volumes of airflow. You know, people are used to exercising in an environment that they're getting enough air. So there's either mechanical air handling systems or alternatively lots and lots of open windows and doors and things like that, high ceilings, etc. So providing you manage those three aspects of it, you're pretty much safe. And then the last thing is obviously your risk of transmission drops dramatically if you're wearing a mask. And this has been one of the questions that has come up a lot. Why should I wear a mask? Well, because it's actually for other people's protection and stops the spread of droplets. And also because it drops your transmission rate dramatically. And, you know, we've had members saying, oh, you know, it's going to be difficult to train with a mask. But I personally was in that same camp, you know, thinking, wow, I don't know if I'm going to train with this. And, you know, I tried training with it on. It was a little bit uncomfortable, but it's the jury's out on that. There's reports that say it's not good for you, and there's other reports that there's no problem at all. You know, for example, a lot of top sportsmen actually train with masks that inhibit the amount of oxygen they can take in. So they're training with those masks, and we saw a study where a physical actual representation where a cyclist cycled for an hour with a mask on for like 10 minutes, a mask off for 10 minutes, mask on, mask off, etc., whilst monitoring vital signs. And the conclusion from that was, aside from discomfort, it's more of a perception thing. Now, obviously, you're not going to go into the gym and go absolutely mad and push your body to the super, super limits because, you know, your fitness levels drop by about 3%. Is it a month or a week? Sorry, I'm not exactly sure of that.
You see, I told you, it's definitely affecting us mentally, this COVID-19.
Yeah. So your fitness levels will be a bit down. So come back in, train moderately, wear your mask, observe the rules and that kind of thing. You know, my sort of a comparison is if I walk into a shopping center and I pick up a tin of beans and then I decide that I'm not going to use it anymore, nobody walks behind me and sprays that tin and sanitizes it. We are capable of doing that in the gyms, and we're quite used to doing that. So we're actually a really, really safe environment. And I know we are running out of time.
Don't worry, my other guests are just waiting. I mean, they're all taking numbers and getting in line.
Thank you, Kathy. I appreciate it. But we've run surveys amongst our members. And, you know, one example is that only 2.5% of our member base is above 65.
Yeah.
8% is over the age of 54. And in terms of people's levels of comfort of returning to the gym compared to malls, shopping centers, churches, we found that 50% were more comfortable and 38% were the same.
Yeah.
With just 11.7%.
Grant, I'm actually going to stop you. All of these stats, we need to actually see them to actually see for them to resonate. You know what I mean? It's lots and lots of stats. But, listen, just keep us updated and let's see what happens with this. I mean, personally, I think that allowing hairdressers, beauty salons, gyms and restaurants and all of that, well, not gyms, but restaurants to open, I think that was a concession from the government that, you know, because it's taking away that force majeure clause, I think that it's actually putting the industries at a disservice. Anyhow, that's just my opinion, but let's chat again. Grant, unfortunately, that is where we have to leave it, but thank you so much.
Absolute pleasure, Kathy. Thank you as well.
All right.
Have a good day.
Take care. You too. Bye-bye. That's Grant Austin, the Managing Director of Edge Sport Fitness Clubs and spokesperson for Fit SA, talking about the right to operate a business.